This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, absolutely wonderful Wednesday, a hump day. We got Daniel Turner coming up a half hour from now. This Tom Steyer character, Eric Swalwell, had to drop out of the governor's race. Steyer seems to be doing well since then. Who is this guy? What is this guy? Well, Daniel Turner knows this guy. We'll talk to him about that in about a half hour from now. I may get to some emails and other things, but I wanted to talk a little bit more about this email. The guy said you were speaking regarding citizens being angry about the Republicans not doing enough for them due to Iran, whatever. But what have Democrats done for them when they're in power? Everything they touch gets destroyed. And of course, you're correct. You can be angry at Republicans. That's usually justified. But that doesn't mean you vote for Democrats because they're so much worse. That's just a fact. But we also have to remember that it's low-info voters who decide elections. I don't know about you. I am going to vote straight-ticket Republican in the midterms. I am. The only thing in the world that could change that for me would be if Republicans pass the Dignidad Act and Trump signs it into the law. If that happens, I probably won't vote at all. But I am going to vote straight ticket Republican in the midterms. I am. You probably are too. So our vote is kind of banked. They've already got your vote in the bank. Well, at least my vote. They've already got my vote in the bank. They do. Because I can't afford to give the country back to the communists. I'm not going to do that. But lots of people, the people who actually decide the elections, they vote on what's 2 inches in front of their face. Let me read you a couple things. First, since January of 2021, cumulative inflation is between 23 and 27%. We'll call it 25%. That means 5 years ago, you could afford more things, period. And everyone knows it. That's not 50 years ago, it's 5 years ago, so you remember what it was like to be able to afford groceries, a new pair of shoes, a new car, fly to see your mother. 5 years ago, you were 25% wealthier than you are now. People vote on that. It's a big reason Kamala Harris did not win the election, because Joe Biden was president. When a lot of this stuff started popping up, people ran out and voted against him because of that. Here's another thing. Home sellers now outnumber buyers by 630,000, the largest gap ever recorded. People want to sell their homes. Other people can't afford to buy those homes. We are suffering economically here. I do not hang around with political people, as I've told you many times. I don't want to. That's why I don't live in D.C. or New York. I live in Houston, Texas, the burbs. I hang out with normal people. Most of my friends are around my age. They have children who are in college, graduated college, or somewhere in that age range. I don't know of a single one of them that has told me a good story about their children's search for a job. Can't find a job, can't find a job, can't get a call back, can't find a job. We're not getting jobs. Pause. Let's rewind. Because that was the case under Joe Biden. And remember when I used to scream about it on the radio. Remember when I would scream about how badly they were screwing up the messaging under Biden?
Bidenomics, Biden's formula for strong economic growth from the bottom up. It's so much greater than even the experts in economic stuff expected it to be.
How are you feeling tonight? Are you feeling confident tonight. The Biden administration is crediting Bidenomics.
The economy is great. It's a Goldilocks economy. I don't recall an economy that is this good.
Our economy is doing so well.
But guess what? It's working.
Bidenomics is working.
Bidenomics is working. It is actually working.
My God, it really is.
When people were suffering and not being able to afford things, Biden and his media lackeys and every Democrat would run to the polls. By the way, credit to Grabian for that montage. They would run to the polls and say, this is great. Everything's going great. The only reason people don't think it's great is you idiots in the media won't tell everybody how great it was. And remember when I said over and over again, that's the one thing you can't do when people are hurting. Don't tell them it's great. Don't do that. Here was Trump on Fox Business.
People are getting refunds of $5,000, $8,000, $11,000 that they had no idea they were getting. It's turned out to be better, as good or better than I said it would be.
Is that going to be enough to offset the increase in gasoline prices?
It will be, because gasoline's coming down very soon and very big.
You think gas prices will be lower before the midterm elections?
I think they'll be much lower before midterm, much lower, yes.
Okay. Now, you've suggested—
I mean, that's on the assumption that we stop a country that cannot have a nuclear weapon from—
You're mad about gas prices? Hey, Iran's got a nuke. Maybe that's true. That doesn't land. Remember when Pam Bondi went in front of Congress and this was her messaging?
The Dow right now is over. The Dow is over $50,000. I don't know why you're laughing.
I winced when she said it. And he doesn't do himself any favors with this kind of stuff. Here's the headline. Trump directed his team to expand the allotment of temporary visas through the H-2B program after successful lobbying efforts from associates tied to his businesses. Bernd Lenbeckel, who managed Mar-a-Lago for 30 years before retiring, longtime Mar-a-Lago member Peter Petrina, and Adrian Tudor, manager at the Trump International Golf Course, press Trump for more seasonal guest workers ahead of peak winter and spring tourism. He then expanded it from 35,000 slots to 64,000 slots. Now, you can argue in Trump's favor for that. You can. You can say, well, we have to have those workers, but you can argue in Trump's favor for that all day long, and I'm not going to argue with you. Maybe you're right. Do you know how that looks to somebody who can't find a job? How terrible that looks. Trump went golfing with his buddies and came back and decided we needed 30,000 more foreigners. And this is when he's doing great things for immigration. He's doing great things for immigration, including legal immigration. I talked about it earlier. He's doing great things. But then he'll sprinkle in a thing like this and ruin that kind of goodwill. And I don't want him to ruin the goodwill, because I don't want people giving power to Democrats, because Democrats are friggin' monsters. Headline, Democrats push to impeach Hegseth. I mean, the things these people are going to freaking do the next time they take power, it's not something we can afford. We can't keep shooting ourselves in the foot with these things. Hey, Jesse, you often say that communism is the religion of the malcontents. But for crying out loud, not all malcontents are commies. Some of us, our intellect rules over our anger. Yes, we seethe, but it's a suppressed seething. I have what to seethe about due to a lifetime of severe pain, but I also help others based on principle despite my malcontent and my anger. Well, you don't understand what I'm saying. I'm happy that you're not a communist. I am sad that you're malcontented. That's not good. But you are a prime recruit for the communists, because it's all about revenge. All of them. This is Michelle Obama.
You know, there are versions of the country that happened.
Yeah.
Right. And the new version doesn't make the old one bad. It's necessary for growth. And I think we're in just a janky version.
There's always some new grievance, always some new gripe. The country always sucks. because they're always recruiting new malcontents, creating new malcontents, recruiting new malcontents, because they want angry, vengeful, spiteful people who just want to hurt things. Because that's what they want to do, is hurt things. Jesse, the Oracle is correct again. Angel Studios, they were one of those studios making the Christian movies, bent their knee to their god, money. The new movie Animal Farm is being released on May 1st and has a transgender actor voicing one of the female pigs. By the way, the Animal Farm book was supposed to be an indictment on communism. The new Animal Farm movie is an indictment on capitalism, I read. Of course, they flipped it around. Anyway, this sucks because I already had to end business with Tuttle Twins, so on and so forth. So now I have to end business with Angel Studios. Are we going to lose all of our Christian conservative media outlets? Well, there is a danger that all of us, you and me, all of us have to be aware of. We have to be on guard against it. I'll discuss that in a moment. Before I discuss that, abortion has not gone away. Remember when I read you the story that Planned Parenthood broke their own record last year? How can that be? We have all these red states that are banning abortion. We had Roe versus Wade overturned. Well, because of the abortion pill and how easy it is to get it, abortion is going gangbusters. Gangbusters. Isn't that freaking sad? Preborn is how we stop it. Because an ultrasound is how we stop it. Giving a woman an ultrasound, it helps her choose life. It's what will help her choose life. Pick up your phone, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. #250 baby. Give them $28. Buys the ultrasound, saves the life. Or you can just do it online, preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back.
Miss something?
There's a podcast.
Get it on demand wherever podcasts are found. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So the guy sent an email and he was mad about Angel Studios commying up their new movies. And hey, this is supposed to be a Christian company and what's wrong with them and things like that. Well, all of us have to be wary of something. We have to worry about the love of money. Greed. And it's not that money is bad. It's not what I'm saying. And by the way, the Bible doesn't say that either. It says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. If dollar signs will make you set aside what you know to be right and do what you know to be wrong, you're going to get yourself in a whole lot of trouble in this life. And so here's what happens, and I don't know specifically what happened to Angel Studios, but this honestly applies to more than movie studios. It applies to everybody. Christian family movies, they only started popping up, I would guess, 10 years ago, 10, 15 years ago. It wasn't a thing. And when they first popped up, they were just crap, just horrible. The acting was bad. The writing was bad. It was bad. Why was it bad? Because it had no money behind it. They didn't have the money to hire any talent. So you're not getting great writers and great actors and great this and great that. You're just getting crap. However, because everything was freaking gay and gross, there was a huge market for the movies anyway. They didn't have to be good because you, me, normal people, we wanted a movie where we could, can I just take my kids to the movie without lesbians making out? Is it possible to do that? It's all we wanted. There was a huge vacuum there. So people started going to the movies. So these movies started killing it at the box office. Killing it. All right, well, that's good. But now, if you're a movie studio, let's say you're Jesse Kelly Studios, and I was making crappy Christian movies before. Well, now I've got quite a report card here. Oh, what's that? I made $50 million on my last movie, $30 million the movie before that, $50 million the movie. You know what I am? I'm a movie studio that makes money with my movies. Sounds good, right? Well, Guess what happens after that? Yeah, you've got money coming in. You can afford better actors and writing and things like that. But people who can write large checks, hey, Jesse Kelly Studios, we over here at Paramount, we like what we've been seeing from you. Very, very impressive. In fact, we'd like to partner with you. What if we paid you personally $50 million to partner with you on your next 10 films? We'll produce it together. We'll produce it with you. Has anybody ever offered you $50 million? I don't know about you. That offer's never come down to me. $50 million. Just think for a moment. Think for a moment if that check is sitting in front of you. It's easy to judge. Think for a moment. Check, $50 million. How's that change your life? Today, $50 million. Telling me you wouldn't even consider it? Oh, I mean, yeah, I'd love to partner with you guys. Yeah, let's partner. Now, not only do they partner with you, now you've got big boy corporate America behind you. You want to get a good actor on the phone? Hey, Sean Penn wants to be in this movie. Yeah, get Sean Penn. But of course, it comes with some strings attached, does it not? One day, you find out, I have to hire this writer? Wait, I have to put this scene in here? Hold on, we wanted to do an Animal Farm movie, but you're going to rewrite it and make it anti-capitalist? What, I have to... Hold on, I have to hire the tranny?
Why are you gay?
Well, I don't under... That's what happens. You know, here's the truth about me, personally. Might as well make it about me. Here's the truth about me. I refuse to do a lot of things that would probably help the show grow because I think they're dirty and gross and I won't do them. That's just the truth. I won't do it. I'd rather quit. Now, that's just a choice everybody has to make at some point in time in their lives. Just is. And it's possibly going to come for you one day too. No, I'm not talking about you being in the movies or radio or whatnot, although you may, I don't know. But the chances you're going to live your life and at some point in time, somebody's going to dangle a $100 bill in front of your face and try to talk you into a path you shouldn't go down, pretty strong. And a lot of people, because human nature is what it is, because we are fallen the way we are, human nature, a lot of people go down that path and end up hating it in the end. They just do. It's companies sell out because companies are made of people and human beings are fallen and flawed and we love money. It is what it is. All right. Daniel Turner is going to join us. Speaking of the love of money, I'm getting the feeling that this Tom Steyer guy is about to be the next governor of the most powerful state in the United States of America. The governor of California matters, no matter where you live. The governor of California matters. And I hear a lot of bad things about Tom Steyer. Daniel Turner says he knows some very bad things about Tom Steyer. I'm going to ask him what those things are. Next.
Jesse Kelly returns. Next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Wednesday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Your love, your hate, your death threats. Joining me now, my friend Daniel Turner. You know him well. He's always schooling us on energy matters, power of the futures, Daniel Turner. Daniel, we are going to get to energy matters, of course, the golf and gas prices and everything else. But that's not the thing I'm most interested in at this exact moment. Tell me about this scumbag running for governor in California.
Tom Steyer. So for those who have been in the environmental or energy space, they know Tom Steyer very well. He became famous because, like a lot of the lunatics out there who are petrified of climate change, he has always used the climate movement for notoriety, for we have to tackle the climate crisis, et cetera, et cetera. He's run for office before, right? He's run for governor of California before. He ran for president back in 2019. Remember that weird period before COVID when the whole world was great and everyone was running for president in 2019 and they had nothing to run on. So climate change was a big issue. That was before COVID, before George Floyd. And that was when Tom Steyer maybe became a national name. The reason why I am interested in destroying Tom Steyer is because he's genuinely an evil person. And I don't say that lightly. Tom Steyer's hedge fund, and he's worth several billion dollars, and there's nothing wrong with owning a hedge fund, but his hedge fund was one of the largest owners and investors in overseas mining and minerals and coal exploration. And you say, well, why is that a problem? And you say, well, it's because Tom Steyer uses the climate movement to shut down American coal production, right? He'll go to places and say that the men in West Virginia who are working in coal mines, they are poisoning the air and killing us, and we need to shut this business down. And everyone will applaud and say, wow, Tom, you care deeply about the planet. But then on the side, Tom Steyer will have investments in companies that use nine-year-old girls to mine coal in Indonesia and Malaysia. And there's no OSHA, right? There's no health care. There's no diversity training and sexual awareness Friday, right? There's no precautions. There's no health care. There's no weekends off. It's slave labor. And slave labor, for those who know, is really, really good for your margins, right? I mean, you make a lot of money off of. And that's why I say Tom Steyer is genuinely evil, because he will tell you to your face he wants to shut down American oil and gas and coal and fossil fuels because of the climate. But he knows damn well that he employs and funds companies that employ slave and child labor and every humanitarian and civil rights and human rights abuse imaginable, because he makes a flipping fortune doing it. And that is just, there's no arguing with that, Jesse. There's no like, well, you know, he's a rough and tumble businessman, right? He's just a cutthroat capitalist. No, he is an evil, evil scumbag. And I hope his campaign unravels, because he may not have abused women like Swalwell, but he abuses children through his business dealings way worse than anything Swalwell ever did.
Daniel, speaking with Daniel Turner, Power of the Future, not to get off on a sidetrack here, but there are places on the planet that have nine-year-old girls working in the mines.
Oh, absolutely. Many of them, and well-documented. All throughout Southeast Asia, all throughout Sub-Saharan Africa. And we just turn a blind eye to it. The UN turns a blind eye to it because it's very uncomfortable to deal with, right? Most of your cobalt and your lithium is mined by slave labor in the Congo. 40,000 some odd slave children are used in the Congo to mine these products, and no one cares about them. Children as young as five, documented by Amnesty International, documented by international organizations, and no one cares. No, Bono doesn't sing a song about them. No one ever, there's no We Are the World for Congolese slave children. Why? Because they are just necessary victims in the larger climate agenda, right? We need cobalt and lithium for solar panels and for wind turbines and for EVs. So, you know, people say, well, why don't you have an EV? It's good for the planet. It's like, yeah, well, maybe my truck does pump out diesel, but there's no blood label. There's no blood, slave blood in my truck. And I'm pretty damn proud of that, right? So you drive whatever you want, but I know that no children were employed in the making of my, slave children were employed in the making of my vehicle. So yeah, that happens worldwide. And we just absolutely ignore it because climate change, you know, look, squirrel, Jesse, let's talk about something else. And they just ignore it.
God have mercy. Jeez, 9-year-old girls. Okay, circling back to this Tom Steyer dirtball, not that I think you have some inside knowledge of the workings of the gubernatorial race, but I can't help but notice, since Eric Swalwell has exited the race, Tom Steyer seems to be rising in the polls. It seems that Eric Swalwell leaving, for whatever reason, worked out really, really well for Tom Steyer. He does sound like the kind of guy who would possibly have something to do with that, right?
Absolutely. And it will be, you know, difficult to connect the dots, but it wouldn't surprise me if someone like this were, if he were completely behind this. You know, everyone knew about Swalwell. Everyone ignored it forever. The fact that it suddenly came out now, right, this man's run, he's been in office, I think it was 13 years. So that's six elections he's gone through for office. At no point did it ever come out before. No one ever felt the need to go to the media. No one ever. So why now all of a sudden? Well, you know, California has that weird jungle primary where there is no Republican primary and Democrat primary. There's just everybody. And the people, the top two people who have the most amount of votes, they then go to the general. Normally, it's two Democrats, and you have a Democrat versus a Democrat running for Senate, running for mayor, running for governor. Right now, it's two Republicans, Steve Hilton being the more famous one. He is British by birth, former Fox News guy, bald, handsome guy, and some of us bald guys pull it off well. So Steve Hilton and the other Republican are running too. And if you're a Democrat, you can't let California fall, right? I mean, it was bad enough when Obama was replaced by Trump, because that undid on the national level what they were so proud of. It was bad enough when they got him again after Biden, because it continued to undo. But California is, some 25 years uninterrupted of Democrat supermajorities. If someone like Steve Hilton got in and actually turned the place around, and the crime stopped, and the homeless stopped, and the poop stopped, and the exodus of Americans stopped, holy cow, what an indictment on Democrats. So they cannot allow a Republican to win California. It's essential. Why not get rid of Swalwell? He was a huge liability. Now the party will coalesce around Tom Steyer. They can't coalesce around Katie Porter, right? She's insane. They'll coalesce around Tom Steyer, and this could clinch it for him. It helps also, Jesse, that he's worth several billion dollars. So if you're ever, it's like when I've been asked before to run for Senate against Mark Warner, I should have gotten your advice before. I'm not going to do it, but I know you've run for office before. You probably would have said, don't do it. But my main reason in not running for Senate in Virginia against Mark Warner is because he's a billionaire. As soon as I think like I have a slight chance of winning, he'll write a $40 million check, and every single commercial you'll see is Daniel Turner, radical Nazi racist, friend of Jesse Kelly, right? They'll find clips of this show and put them out of cut. Daniel Turner, your children deserve better than Jesse Kelly's puppet. And they're like, who needs that crap? So why would I ever run for office against a guy who has unlimited funds? Steyer has the same advantage. He will just drop every single paycheck necessary to win this race.
Yeah, Daniel, I wish I could tell you you're lying, but your association with me means you're never going to run for public office and win. That's just impossible. That's completely impossible. I should have asked you beforehand, do you have time for one more segment? I haven't even gotten to oil and gas prices and energy and everything else. You got enough time for one more?
Anything for you and your audience, Jesse.
All right. We are going to return in just a moment with Daniel Turner. Before we return with Daniel Turner, I want you to not live with pain. I want you to stop ignoring it. Stop accepting it. It's just part of age. It's not true. I want you to stop grabbing that pill bottle, because you do need those kidneys to continue functioning. I want you to try Relief Factor. All I'm asking is that you try it. I'm not asking for a year-long subscription or a lifetime commitment. They sell a three-week quick start of it for $19.95. It's a supplement, 100% drug-free supplement. You take it every day. You're going to have your pain fade and fade and fade and fade. And 3 weeks from now, you're going to call them back and say, please send me more. 3 weeks of it. Just try it. 1-800-4-RELIEF, or go to relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse
USA!
Kelly Show.
Exercise our right to assemble, for that's when the proud and mighty start to tremble. Just in case you're wondering, just in case you're wondering, just in case you're wondering.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Thank you to Jewish producer Chris for bringing us back with that wonderful number of communists doing yet another song and dance routine. But we don't have time to go into that, Chris, because Daniel Turner is still with us of Power of the Future. All right. Daniel, as you are well aware, we have a war going on in Iran, Strait of Hormuz, blockade. People are feeling it at the pump. Make us feel better or worse. Just give us the truth. What's happening?
Well, to feel better is that when this is done, and hopefully that's very soon, prices will drop really quickly. And so I think that's what everyone is anxious for, right? I mean, last I saw, oil was down $15 or $16 a barrel in just the last couple of days. And that's good. Still not great, right? $90 a barrel oil is still very expensive gas. And that's because there's still uncertainty in the market. You know, even sadly within the administration, you hear sometimes conflicting things. How many tankers have gotten through the Straits of Hormuz? Is there a blockade, a partial blockade, some blockade? All of those things just generate uncertainty. And this is a market that does not like uncertainty. The good news is that whenever it is done, and President Trump has said many times he thinks it's close to being done, whenever it is done, oil prices will drop very, very fast. And I am hopeful that by, you know, early, maybe even late spring, this will all be in the past. And we will have said, wow, that was a bad 2 months, right? That was an expensive 2 months, and we'll be back to normal, and our, you know, collective memory will have forgotten it. We seem to have forgotten it was a bad 4 years under Biden. We had great oil prices for a year under Trump, his first year, and everyone celebrated it. We forgot how bad it was for four. Can we forget two bad months? Is that enough to get us into the summer? Fingers crossed, I hope so.
Okay, the Strait of Hormuz. Everyone talks about 20% of the oil passing through it, everything else it passes through it. Yeah. Does this little dust-up prompt some sort of a change to that? Can it be changed? Talk to me about that.
Yeah, I think it can. I think President Trump really is making it clear he wants to control the world's oil and gas. You've seen, I'm sure your audience has seen a lot of these maps that have been generated that show the number of tankers that are now crossing the Atlantic, coming to the Gulf, coming to your area, to load up on oil and gas and go back, right? They're diverting and they're buying it from America now because they can't get into the straits. That's great for American production. It's not great for our prices because our supply is going to the world market and not just to America. But President Trump sees this as dominating the world. He doesn't want a global order. He doesn't want a new world order. He doesn't want a UN order. Right. He wants America in charge of the world. And he sees the way to do that is to be in charge of the world's oil and gas. That's why his blockade of the straits is pretty ballsy, to put it crassly. Right. He's making it clear this is not our region of the world. And he's saying, well, it is now. Right. It is now because we're America and we have the biggest Navy and the biggest military. And we always have to pay for all of the nonsense that you guys allow. Right. You guys buy Russian oil and gas. They invade Ukraine, and then everyone says, America, go defend Ukraine. You buy Iranian oil and gas, they foment terrorism worldwide, and everyone says, America, stop the terrorism worldwide. So President Trump is making it clear, maybe I will just control, America will control the world's oil and gas, and that will set a new order on the world for good, for peace, for prosperity, with America in charge. If you think America is a force for good, and you and your wonderful audience does, you love this strategy. If, like a lot of our Democrats, if you think America is bad and evil and corrupt and racist and all that, you hate this strategy. You want the UN in charge. You want Brussels, right? You want some world order. And that's the conflict right now. It's why you see people like Chuck Schumer. It sounds like they're pro-Iran more than pro-America. And it's because they don't want America to be the world's leader. They think America is just one more country on earth. You can't understand why they'd run for office, but that's who we're dealing with.
Is China being hurt right now?
Crushed. And that's the best thing for it. This is all about China. Venezuela was about China. Iran was about China. China is an absolute pickle, and that is very good. And China, you know, they try really hard to portray themselves as this thriving, you know, everyone prosperous and blah, blah, blah. China is always, like all communist countries, is always on razor's edge and can be pushed one way or another. And the chairman of the Communist Party has to keep 500 million people fed and occupied in state-run. Remember that everything is run by the state in China. And if that starts failing, China will disappear as quickly as the Soviet Union did. And these are the beginning steps of the tumbling of the communist empire in China. It's going to take a little time, but if nothing else, it will diminish China's presence on the world stage. They've lost their foothold in South America, right, which is enormous. They've lost their foothold in the Caribbean. They've lost Venezuela. Now they're losing their Middle East oil. And a weak China is really good for America. So, yeah, President Trump is playing a lot of games of chess, you know, and he's I have likened it many times, Jesse, if your audience knows the movie, which most of us do. You know, it's that movie when Michael Corleone in The Godfather says, tonight I settle all family business, right? He's talking to his moron brother-in-law. You know, he settled all family matters. He took them all out all at once because he's sick and tired of it. These little skirmishes, right? These little battles here and there, little dust up, enough. Get rid of all of them. And that's what President Trump is doing. It's pretty badass. We can say it's right or wrong. We can discuss the geopolitics. But there's one thing that's very clear. He is a decisive person, and he is tired of the little skirmishes, the little battles, and he is settling all of America's affairs in one fell swoop.
He is Daniel Turner, Power of the Future. Thank you, my brother. I appreciate it very much.
God bless, Jesse.
Hey, Chris. I bet Daniel Turner was singing along, even though you won't.
We exercise our right to assemble, for that's when the crowd.
At least clap this time, Chris.
Tremble, just come on. In case you're wondering. Just in case you're wondering. Just in case you're wondering. Hey, hey, look this way. This is what democracy looks like. Show me what democracy looks like.
These people are so stupid. How do you do that? How do you get up there and do that with a straight face? I don't understand it. Being a Democrat is a humiliation ritual, and I don't understand why anybody puts themselves through it. All right, we still have an entire hour to go. We have BK coming up a half hour from now. I want to know what kind of super ninja crap we pulled off to go behind enemy lines into the Iranian mountains and pull our guy out of there. Anyway, all that, emails, more coming up. Hang on.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.